Good morning. How are you doing today? My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. I'm glad that you are here to worship with us today because I think the message we're going to look at today has some real power for your life. So let me pray, and we'll dive into our word together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And right now, we just lift up a cry to you, asking for you to speak to us. God, I know that in this room, there are many different needs represented. There are many different families represented. And Father, I pray that they would know as they leave here today that you are the Father of each and every one of them. You have called them to be adopted into your family. You have called them to be your children. And Father, I pray that that great privilege, that great joy would flood over them in a very fresh and very new way today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help me just to get out of the way so that, Father, you could speak very directly to us. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at the words everlasting Father from Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9:6. And so I thought it'd be fun this morning to introduce you to my father, Paul Garmany. Here's a picture of my dad. That's one of my favorite. That was his Halloween costume in like 2003. I mean, he was just a funny dude. Here's probably more how I remember my dad. I get my love from Kentucky, from Paul Garmany, as you could tell. This is just how he would always dress. Like, he had that Bill Belichick cutoff sweatshirt look going on all the time, and he wore jorts, you know, the jean shorts. I saw a meme one time, and it said, if your dad didn't wear jorts, was he really your dad? And so that's just kind of how I remember my dad. He always had an Ameristop coffee cup in his hand. And I don't know what it is about 40-year-old dads and gas station coffee, but like that was the thing. Every time I saw him, he just had nasty gas station coffee in his hand and he loved it. He was an interesting cat, Paul Garmany. You know, this is a true story. My dad wanted to name me Bubba Garmany. How'd you like that? Pastor Bubba. I'm Pastor Bubba and I want you to know I love you. Yeah, he had two daughters before he had me, Tiffany and Ashley, and I was his first boy. And he thought that I would grow up to be a football player, a professional football player. You can imagine his disappointment when I did musicals and plays, and I was a thespian instead. He was pretty sad about that. Bubba Garmany, the Oscar award-winning actor. He used to have all these weird sayings. How many of your dads had like weird sayings that they would say? Like, I remember if you said something random to my dad, he would say, "What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?" And I was like, "What? What has that got to do? What did you just say?" But he said that all the time. He told us when we were kids that if we ate the crust on our pizza, we would grow hair on our chest. And so we were always afraid to eat the crust on our pizza because we didn't want to be like 8-year-olds with hairy chest. And so, but what we learned later is he was just taking the crust into the other room and eating it for himself. Like, he just wanted the crust. He also used to tell us, and I ask for your apologies if this is too crass for you, but he used to tell us that if we used the public restroom and we didn't put a piece of paper down over the toilet seat, we would get butt fungus, and he'd have to take us to the hospital to remove butt fungus. And to this day, I'm still afraid to use the public bathroom. Like, I still get a little anxious when I walk in, like, what's gonna happen? My niece Charlotte, they were home for Christmas and she used the public restroom and she was like begging my sister Tiffany, like, please take me to the hospital because I don't want to get fungus. Yeah, so that was dad. My sister Ashley, she went to school at Ohio University and then she transferred to Cincinnati. And so it took her a few years to finish college. It took her about 6 years. And I remember one time she was venting to my dad like about how long it was taking to finish school. And my dad looked at her and he said, "It's okay, Ashley. You know, a lot of people take 6 years to finish school. They're called doctors." And it's like, very encouraging, Pops. It was awesome. Here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about your heavenly Father, your everlasting Father. We're going to call him your forever Father today. And I want you to lean in and listen to me today for a couple reasons. There's a couple reasons this message is so important. Number one, father hunger is universal. All right, it is something that every person in this world longs for, and that's a satisfying, profound relationship with their father. We all want that. We all have this desire to have approval from our father. It's just something that's woven into us. And I know it's true because moms, you could take your kids to the pool like every day of the summer, right? And then that one day dad shows up, it's like the party just got started. Like, dad, watch me. Dad, watch what I can do. Watch me, dad. And then the kid like jumps in the pool and just kind of flails. And dad's like, what was that? He's like, that's the pickle, dad. You know, like they just want to show off for dad, right? Because when dad shows up, there's something unique that happens. And moms, that's not to say you're not important. If it weren't for you, the kids would starve and wear the same clothes for like 3 years straight. We need your nurturing, loving touch. But there's something very important about the approval of a father. I would even say it's something that God has designed in you, this unique need for your father's approval. Sigmund Freud was a psychologist, and he said, I can't think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Okay, there's just something innate in us that wants the provision, the protection, and the care of a good father. Here's the other reason I think this is really important. Father hunger is universal, but father absence is rampant in our culture. Father absence is very rampant. I know that as I share this morning, this is a pretty sensitive subject for a lot of people. Because there's a lot of people in this room who didn't get to experience a good, godly father in their life. You see, some of you this morning, you had fathers who just walked out on you when you were young and you never really knew them. Some of you had a father who died really early on and he missed some pivotal moments of your adult life. And I want you to know that I personally resonate with the sting of how that feels. Some of you had a dad, and it's not like he abandoned you or he abused you, but he was just never really there emotionally. He never told you he loved you. He never told you he was proud of you. Some of you, when you think of your dad, immediately you just think of how unsatisfied he seemed to be. He was never pleased. It was like you could never do enough to earn the approval. Some of you had a dad that was a ticking time bomb. And when you came home, it was like, man, how long is it going to be before dad blows up again? And I want you to look at me. If you had a father like that, I want you to know that I'm sorry, and I want you to know that I love you. And here's what we're not gonna do today. Today, I don't wanna focus on what you didn't have in your earthly father, but I wanna share with you the glorious gift that's been given to you in your forever father. And if you were a dad like that, if you're here this morning and you're hearing some of those things and it's making you feel a little squeamish or guilty, here's what I want you to know. There is redemption and grace in the presence of your forever father. And as we listen to what our forever father has to say to us today, I want you to be inspired by his perfect fatherly love to be the best dad that you can be. And if you had a great father, how many of you in here would just say, man, I had a great dad. He was awesome. He loved me. He cared for me. Here's what I want you to know today. The Bible teaches, believe it or not, that there is a father who loves us and cares for us on a deeper and more real level than any earthly father ever could. So all of us today can lean in and we can get something from this word that Isaiah has to say to us. So let's dive into our message. Here's the main idea, if you're taking notes, that I want you to write down and remember today. Jesus reveals the forever father's heart. Let me say that again. Jesus reveals the forever father's heart. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You see, the Bible teaches that when Jesus walked the earth, he was one in essence and in nature with his heavenly Father. So what Isaiah is not saying here is he's not saying that Jesus the Son and God the Father are the same person, but he's saying that when the Messiah comes, he will relate to you like a father. And Jesus, as he walked the earth, showed us what the Father is like. There's a little discipleship scenario that happens in John 14. Philip, one of the disciples, comes to Jesus and he says this. He says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. How many of you have ever had a moment with God like that? God, if you would just show yourself to me, then I'd know this is all real and that'd be enough for me. That's kind of what's going on with Philip. Just show us the Father and we'll know that we're doing the right thing. And look at Jesus's response. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen who? The Father. And then again in John 1:18, and this might be one of the most important verses in the Bible about Jesus' relationship with the Father. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is God himself. So there you have it. Jesus wasn't just a man chosen by God to represent him. Jesus was God in the flesh, come to reveal the Father. He is in closest relationship with the Father, and he has made him known. Friends, Jesus came to reveal your forever Father's heart to you. What you get in Jesus is the fingerprint of God experienced, expressed, and felt personally. Everything that God the Father wanted you to know about himself, he revealed to you in his Son. So let's think about Jesus for a minute. Was Jesus truthful? Your heavenly Father is truthful. Was Jesus compassionate? Your heavenly Father is compassionate. Was Jesus angered by self-righteousness? So too is your heavenly Father. Was Jesus full of light and truth? Your Father's full of light and truth. And Jesus came to reveal him to you. And not only that, but Jesus also came to show us how we can relate to our heavenly Father. Look at this other verse in John chapter 1. It says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but children born of God. Friend, hear me. Lean in with me for just a moment. What I want you to know today is that your heavenly Father sent his Son into this world to adopt you into his family. He gave you a privilege to be chosen by him. You see, when you have children of your own, when you have children born biologically, you don't get to pick the kids you get. But when you adopt a child, you are choosing that child and saying, I want you in my family. Here's the good news this morning. God has chosen you. He wants you. I saw a video this week, and it about brought me to tears. It's this video of this little boy who received a very special gift on Christmas, and I want you to check this out. So if you could roll that video for me.
Well, you can run the paper.
Yes.
Congratulations, last one.
What is that?
Last picture frame.
Read it.
Can you read it?
Yeah.
Out loud?
He's getting his adoption papers from his dad. I mean, isn't that amazing? Isn't that an incredible picture of the Father's heart? Oh. The Father loves you so much, friend, that he chose you, that he wanted to adopt you into his family, that he wanted to make you his son or his daughter. This Christmas, the greatest gift that he could give to you, the most important gift you could unwrap, is your Father's heart given to you in his Son. He's called you his son. He's called you his daughter. And Jesus came to reveal what your Father is like. And he came to reveal not only that he is like a father, but that he is the perfect father. So hear me this morning. If you didn't have a great relationship with your earthly father, Jesus isn't saying that God is just a bigger version of your dad. Jesus is saying that he is the perfect version of your dad. He's the father that you've always wanted. All you have to do this morning is unwrap the gift. The papers are there. All you have to do this morning is receive him. And so what I want to do with this message is two things this morning. Number one, I want to share with you a couple of truths about what it means for you to be God's child. Some things that I think are important for you to understand. And then the second thing I want to do is I just want to unwrap the Father's heart for you this morning. So let's do that together. For this first section, if you're taking notes, you might just write, why is this important? And here's the first thing. The most important thing about you is that you are God's child. Turn to your neighbor and say, the most important thing about me is that I am God's child. The most important thing about you is that you're God's child. It's not your theological knowledge. It's not your financial status, not your bank account, not your portfolio, not your job, not your accomplishments, not even your children. The most important thing about you this morning is that you are God's child. J.I. Packer is an author that I like to read, and he wrote this. He said, "What is a Christian?" He said, the question can be answered in a lot of ways, but the richest answer that I know is someone who has God as their father. Now hear me, because I wrestled a lot with this week. I think this is something we all know, but not something we experience on a very real level. And I prayed all week that you would grab a hold of this. You see, when I was a youth pastor, I used to tell our junior high and our high school girls all the time, I would try to teach them to put God first in their life, so even over their boyfriends. And I would always tell them, a boyfriend's great, but here's the problem with a boyfriend. Either you're gonna break up in a couple weeks, or you'll get married, and then they're gonna die. So eventually, it's just gonna end, right? And it's true. And like, why put your faith in a 14-year-old boy anyways? They can't even clean their room right now. Like, it doesn't work. And we laugh at that, but hear me. A lot of us do this. We put our hope in things that aren't big enough to hold our hope. Whether that's your money, your bank account, your family, your children, your marriage, your job, your self-worth. Listen, all of those things can and probably will bottom out eventually. But you know what never bottoms out? It's your Father's love for you as his child. It is the anchor through every storm. It's the most important thing about your life. It informs every part of your Christian walk. When you know you're God's child, it gives a deeper purpose to your pain and suffering because you know that your Father loves you and that nothing has or ever will come into your life that he does not intend for your good. When you know you're God's child, it sweetens your obedience to him because you know that it's impossible for you to obey a God that you don't believe loves you completely. But when you know he's your Father and you know his commands are for your good, all of a sudden following him becomes a lot easier because it's for your joy. When you know he's your Father, it transforms your prayer life. How many of you got something that you're praying very deeply and hard for right now? Listen, you're his child. You're not praying to some cold, theistic God in heaven. You're praying to a Father who's been made real to you. One who is warm with a tenderness for all of your needs. One who's conscious of all your pain and all your suffering and every need you have, and he delights to answer those. It's the most important thing about you, friend, that you're his child, that you're his son, you're his daughter. Here's the second thing I want you to know this morning. You have unlimited access to your forever Father. Back in that verse in John 1:12, he actually said that we have rights. He said God has given us the right to be called children of God. In other words, we've got full access to all of his authority, all of his resources. When I was in high school, my dad and my stepmom, Reggie, had an Audi convertible. It was this beautiful silver convertible, and I always wanted to drive it. I would beg them, like, please, let me drive the Audi. And finally, one Sunday night, my dad gave me the keys to the Audi, and he let me drive it to youth group, and I got to show it off to all my friends, and everybody thought I was awesome. Hannah, who was dating me in high school, was like, I'm gonna marry that guy. And I was like, yeah, we'll drive an Audi someday when someone gives us one. So I drove the Audi to youth group and I showed it off to all my friends. That night I took it home and I had to put some gas in it before I got back to the house. And it had this contraption in it that I didn't know about where when you put the nozzle in, it would stick and there was a button to release it. It was like some special high-tech little gadget and I didn't know about the button. And so I'm trying to pull the nozzle out and I'm pulling, I'm yanking, and I finally rip it out and gas goes all over the inside of the Audi. And all of a sudden, jorts and Ameristop coffee cups became the stuff of nightmares. Like, I was afraid. Like, I'm gonna get killed when I get home. And so I drove home, and I go into the garage, and I immediately, like, start trying to clean it up. And my dad and Reggie come out into the garage because they could smell gas. Again, teenage boys, not very bright. They come out, and they start helping me clean it up, and they just laugh. And I'm like, oh, thank the Lord, right? Now, needless to say, I was never allowed to drive the Audi again. But I escape with my life, which I think is a fair deal. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Your Father has given you the keys to his entire kingdom. The scripture says in Ephesians, you've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, that all of the resources in your Father's chest have been made available to you. So hear me, if you're here this morning and you're facing a very difficult decision, all of the wisdom of the God of the universe has been made available to you. If you're going through a rough holiday season, maybe it's a financial burden in your family right now or someone's sick, I want you to know the omnipotent power of your Father is yours to lean into. If you're lonely this Christmas, and I know there's a lot of you in here that are, it's the first Christmas without someone who really matters. I want you to know his relentless love will anchor your soul. If you're here this morning and you're just feeling beat up by a bad year, you made some mistakes this year, I want you to know there is a forever unending grace in your Father's presence that will develop and create you into who God has made you to be. And it's all available to you because you are his child and you have an unlimited access to his presence. And hear me, what a privilege that is. Don't let that blow by you today. Don't let that just escape you. Do yourself a favor this morning and lean in to what God wants to say to you about his father heart. Because it'd be so easy for us just to go through the holidays and get caught up in the busyness and miss out on the Father who wants to speak to us. So here's what I want to do. For the last part of this message, I just want to take a few moments and I want to show you your forever Father's heart towards you. Earlier today in the service, Dusty read Psalm 103 to you. Psalm 103 was written by King David. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. So if anybody knows what our forever Father's heart would look like, David is the guy. And he wrote this psalm to display God's heart towards us. And I just want to pull out of that psalm a few things about God's heart for you. And here's the first one. Your Father loves you endlessly. I love this scripture. He says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in love." Don't you love that word, abounding? Doesn't that just have a nice ring to it? That word abounding means he's overflowing with love for you. And here's why this is important. I think some of you just have this idea that God just tolerates you. That God just kind of puts up with you because he's God and that's what God should do. But I want you to know nothing could be further from the truth. Your Father is abounding in love for you. There's a scripture in Isaiah 49. It says, "Can a mother forget the baby nursing at her breast? Or can a father forget the child whom he has born?" Moms, how many of you can go 5 minutes without thinking about your kids? I know you can't because I see it on Instagram. Like every 5 minutes, there's a new picture. Like, oh, there they are again. That's my boy. That's my boy. That's the Father's love for you. You're always on his mind. He's always thinking about you. Do you know the Bible tells us that God loves you even more than you love yourself? That he has a deeper concern than even you do for your children, for your career, for your self-worth, for your marriage? Friend, he is abounding. He is crazy about you. He loves you. I love that phrase, slow to anger. Even when God disciplines us, he never gets riled up. And to be sure, God does discipline us. Now, discipline has changed a lot since I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, there was none of this counting business. Like, I'm going to give you 3 seconds and you'll be over here. We counted as children. It was like, I got 3 seconds before she gets here and then she's going to whap me with that. Like, I counted. They didn't give me the opportunity to count. There wasn't any bargaining when I was a kid either. Like, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. The only bargaining we got was like, clean this house or you'll be homeless. That was our bargain when I was a kid. And God does discipline us, the Bible teaches us. But fathers, I want you to hear me, and I want you to lean in as you parent your children. God never disciplines us in anger. Actually, the Bible teaches that Jesus took on all of God's anger and wrath, and he suffered in our place so that we could be sure that we know the Father always relates to us in tenderness and love. And I want you to know this morning, if you're going through something very difficult, God might be using that for your good, but he is not disciplining you in anger. He is not punishing you, but he loves you even where you are today. No matter what it is, even if the bottom has dropped out, even if you're staring at the consequences of your choices in your life, he never disciplines in anger, but he's abounding in love for you. It's a love that's unending. It's a love that is bigger than anything you could find anywhere in this world. You know, in my life, too often, I've made the mistake of putting too much emphasis on the love I receive from other people. In other words, I need my wife to be like this for me, or as a pastor, I need to be received in a certain way. And I just think far too often, as people, we put too many eggs in the basket of human relationships. So I need my son to be this, or I need my wife to be this, or I need my daughter or my sister to be this, or I need this boyfriend or this guy to be this. And here's what I want you to know. You are searching for an infinite love in finite people, and it's never, ever, ever going to work. But the Father has given you an abounding love that is endless and will never run out. And all you have to do is embrace it this morning because he loves you. Here's the second thing I want you to know about your Father's heart. Is your Father knows you entirely. Love these verses in 13 and 14. It says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Friend, do you know that God knows you inside and out? That he knows the things that make you tick. He knows those weird little tendencies that you think only your husband or your wife knows about you. He even knows those people that frustrate you. And sometimes I think God is kind of like measuring our character. And sometimes I think he lets us deal with those people who frustrate us just to see what will go on. Like, let's see how they deal with belligerent Bob today. Let's see what happens in this little circumstance. But he knows you. The scripture says he knows every single hair that's on your head. Now, I know moms spend a lot of time looking at their children, but can any mom really say they've counted every single hair? Some of you dads are like, well, I know one. He knows you inside and out, every part of you, your passions, your desires. The scripture says he knows your purpose. In Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Every parent has dreams for their children. God has a dream for you this morning. He has a purpose in mind for your life, for you to become the image of his son, to be generous and full of his mercy and full of his presence everywhere you go. He wove innate passions and certain little things that you care about into your life. There's a reason you are good at certain things that other people aren't. There's a reason you care about things that other people don't. It's because God wired you that way with a purpose, and he knows that purpose. He knows your mistakes this morning. Some of you, when you hear that God knows you entirely, you get a little nervous because you understand that means he knows everything about you. He knows those things that we try to keep secret, those things we don't want other people to see, and we're afraid that because he knows those things about us, he'll be ashamed to love us. But the scripture says in Zephaniah chapter 3 that God sings over you and that he will not rebuke you in anger, but he will relate to you in love. God loves you so much that he sings over you. Has anybody in here ever written a song about someone that they love? I did in high school. I wrote a song for Hannah when we were 15 years old, and I put it on a little CD. I recorded it in my friend's basement, and I gave it to Hannah, and we listened to it in the parking lot of a Wendy's, and that day she decided she would marry me. No, not really, but it took a lot more convincing than a song on a CD. But I made a song for her, and we listened to it together, and then it just kind of disappeared into the fray of life. It went into some box, never to be seen again for a long time, until 2 years ago I was in Guatemala. And I'm in the team house in Guatemala, and they have this big patio where everybody kind of hangs out at night. And there were people from like three other churches there. So there were about 75 people hanging out on this patio. And I'm inside, just inside where the patio's at, and I hear this music playing. And I go, huh, that sounds good. Sounds familiar. And then all of a sudden somebody comes in and says, hey, Jake, come out on the patio. So I walk out on the patio and I hear a voice. I go, that's my voice. Somebody has my song right now. And they're playing it for everybody to hear. And everybody's staring at me. And I realize I've been set up. Like somebody got a hold of this recording. Hannah wasn't on the trip. And so I'm going, how is this happening right now? Long story short, one of our high school friends, their little sister was in the youth group. And they brought the song down to Guatemala and played it for everybody to hear. And so at first I'm like really embarrassed. Like, oh man, like this is awful. Everybody can hear. And then something just kind of flipped. And I wasn't embarrassed. I was more just like unashamed. Like, yeah, I wrote a song for her. That's my wife. And I started looking at the high school boys like, you want to get married? Here you go. This is what happens. This is how it works. And like, you're just mad you don't have enough game to write a song for your wife. You know, like I just started defending myself. Here's what I want you to know this morning. God is not ashamed to call you his child. He's not ashamed to sing over you. He's not ashamed to be a part of your life. He's not ashamed to be near you. Your sin, your failures, they do not keep you from him. He knows those about you, and he still wants you to be his child because he loves you. He loves you so deeply this morning. He also knows your circumstances. I want you to look at me this morning. I know you're going through a lot. I know that in this room there's a lot of different needs and a lot of different things that are going on. And I want you to know your father's not absent. He's not asleep. He's not blind to those things. But he knows them inside and out, and he wants to walk with you through those things. In Hosea 13, it says, I cared for you in the wilderness. I cared for you in the land of burning heat. Jesus said, my father is always working. And I want you to know this morning, your father is at work right now in your life. And he is precise. He knows exactly what you need to get through this very circumstance and know that he is in the boat with you. because he knows. He knows you entirely. He knows you inside and out. He knows where you need his presence. He knows where you need more faith, and he's willing to give it this morning. Here's the third thing I want you to know this morning. Your Father forgives you eagerly. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." I love that. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. It doesn't just say he forgives some of them. He doesn't just forgive the small or the inconsequential sins, but he forgives all of your sins. Isaiah says, "I am the God who blots out your transgressions, and I remember them no more." When God forgives you, he doesn't bring it up to you again. Don't you hate it when that happens in your life? Don't you hate it when you've kind of settled something with someone, when you've kind of asked for permission and you've moved on, and then a couple weeks later, in the heat of an argument, they bring it up again? The scripture says God will never do that. That when he forgives, he forgets. And some of you this morning, you have a hard time relating to your Heavenly Father because you're still carrying around that old shame. And you need to know this morning that you are being defined by sins that God has declared dead and powerless in your life. And it's time to drop the baggage because you're not the old you anymore. You are his child, forgiven, made new by the blood of Jesus. Verse 4 says, "He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion." I don't know what kind of hole you're in this morning, but Corrie Ten Boom said, "There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." And I know this is true. I shared a little bit about my dad with you at the beginning of the message. My dad and I didn't have the best relationship growing up. Some of that was mistakes on his part. Some of that was mistakes on my part. Just as we got older, we grew very distant towards one another. When I was in high school, when I came to Christ, God also began to work on my dad's life. And there was just this softening that kind of happened in our relationship. When I was 20, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And he fought a very short but very difficult battle for about 6 months with pancreatic cancer. And he went to be with the Lord in April of 2010. But during those 6 months, God redeemed and restored something that I thought was irredeemable. My dad would sit in this chair and he would watch TV after his chemo treatments, and that's really all he could do. And so at night I'd sit down and we would just talk about life, about God's goodness and his faithfulness, about the mercy God had shown both of us. And what happened is there was this mingling of our souls, this friendship that was kindled that I never thought would happen. And I want you to know this morning that God can redeem anything in your life that's been broken by sin. He has a power to restore that is immeasurable. He has the power to restore a ruptured relationship this morning. He has the power this morning, the strength to mend a mangled marriage. He has the capacity to cure a crippled conscience. He has the skill this morning to soothe a shattered soul. He has the fortitude to fix a fractured family. He has the ability to alleviate a mind that's wrought with anxiety. And whatever you brought into this room this morning, I want you to know he can redeem it. There is a power in your Heavenly Father's presence that is unlike anything you've ever known. And not only can he, but it's his joy to do so. He's eager to forgive you today. Do you know that? So eager that he sent his son into this world to claim you. When Jesus laid in that manger, the infinite love of God and the infinite holiness of God were gentled so that we could know him. Do you know that the only time in his life that Jesus did not call God his Father was when he was hanging on the cross and the land had gone dark? And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus lost his relationship with his Heavenly Father so that we could gain one. He was orphaned so that we could be adopted into his family. I want you to know your Father loves you. Think of the love you have for your child. Multiply that by 1,000 and you begin to glimpse the love that God has for his son. And yet he was willing that he should suffer so that we could know him. He was willing that he should be the sacrifice for our sin so that we could call him our forever Father. Some of you this morning, you're still relating to God as if your sin is in the way. And I want you to know it's been wiped out. Your older brother took care of it forever. And now your relationship with your Father is wide open. and he wants to pour out his love, his knowledge, his forgiveness in capacities that you've never known before. It's the greatest gift he could give you this Christmas, to adopt you, to call you his own. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I lift you up this morning and I say thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for the sweet, sweet love that you have for us today. Father, here's my prayer. Open our eyes to see this great love that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. Open our eyes to see that we are children of God in a fresh way. If there's any doubt in this room about your presence with us, I pray, God, that you would alleviate it right this moment. That you would speak and we would listen and you would tell us, you are my child in whom I'm well pleased. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for adopting us into your family. We love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Here's what I'd like to do before we sing our response song. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment, I'd like to lead you through a time of response. Maybe this morning, we've got a few responses we're gonna do here, but maybe this morning you don't have a relationship with your forever Father and you'd like one. The scripture says, he who believes in his heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord can be saved. John said that to all who received him, he gave the right to be called children. And so if that's your prayer this morning, I would like to come into a relationship with my forever Father. I'd like to receive this gift. Would you just raise your hand in the air so I can pray for you this morning? Thank you for those hands. I want to pray over you and then I have another response. Father, I thank you this morning for those who want you to be their Father. I pray, Father, that you would speak to them about your love and your kindness. I pray, Father, they would know that they are kept forever in your hand because of what your Son has accomplished for them. I pray for those who would receive you right now, God, that you would come into their life, that the Spirit of God would help them cry out, Abba, Father, in a powerful way. We love you, Lord. Amen. If you keep your heads down for just a moment, if you're in this room this morning and you just need a touch from your forever Father today, you need to be reminded of his presence with you through a difficult holiday season. You need to be reminded of his love for you. I would just like to pray for you. So if you would just raise your hand so I would know who to pray for in this room, I would love to pray for you this morning. Thank you for those hands. Let me pray over you. Father, we bless you right now. God, I pray for those in this room who are hurting, who are going through a difficult, confusing time this Christmas. Father, I pray you would draw near to them in wisdom, in mercy, that they would feel a sweet, warm affection from you today. That as they get ready for Christmas Eve and Christmas, Father, they would be reminded of the greatest gift that's been given. That's your son. That they would open up with the same joy of the little boy on that video, these adoption papers, this adoption message you've given to them, that they are your children. So whatever needs they have, whatever fears they have, whatever worries they have, Father, you know those, and you are ultimately in control of those, so our minds can rest easy. We have a Father who knows us and has the power to do something about it. And so, Father, would you exert your power in a new way today? God, we trust you and we love you and we cling to you like a child clinging to the legs of their daddy. We love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing a couple short verses of a song about God being our good Father. If you'd like to respond at the altars, they're open. Maybe you just want to pray where you are. Your Father wants to meet with you today and he wants to encourage you and speak life to you. Let's stand and sing.